Reason guides but a small part of man, and that the least interesting. The rest obeys feeling, true or false, and passion, good or bad. Joseph Rue. Nature has placed mankind under the government of two sovereign masters, pain and pleasure. They govern us in all we do, in all we say, in all we think. Every effort we make to throw off our subjection will serve but to demonstrate and confirm it. Jeremy Bentham. The secret of success is learning how to use pain and pleasure instead of having pain and pleasure use you. If you do that, you're in control of your life. If you don't, life controls you. Anthony Robbins.
Human beings are not random creatures. Everything we do for a reason. We may not be aware of the reason consciously, but there is a driving force behind all human behavior. The force is simply this. Everything you and I do, we do either out of our need to avoid pain or out of our desire to gain pleasure. Now, I know that sounds like an oversimplification, but I'm here to tell you these twin powers of pain and pleasure, or what I call the triple P, the pain-pleasure principle, have controlled every decision you've made consciously or unconsciously throughout your entire life. The pain-pleasure principle is the force that drives your decisions about what to wear, where you go, how you get there, what to do for a living, who you're in a relationship with, whether you're fit or fat. It also prevents most people from taking the first step on the pathway of possibilities, the one that could enrich the quality of their lives immediately. For example, have you ever procrastinated? Of course you have. What is procrastination? It's what happens when you know you should do something, but you don't. Now, why don't you take that action? Simply because you link more pain to taking action than you do to putting it off. Procrastination means putting off the pain, and that's why you do it. But haven't you had a time in your life when you procrastinated so long that eventually one day it reversed on you, and you had to stop procrastinating in a moment? Maybe around April 14th, for example. What happened on that day? You simply changed what you linked pain to. All of a sudden, your brain began to link up that not taking action will be much more painful than just getting your taxes done. This doesn't happen only in the realm of taxes, though, does it? I mean, if you've been in a destructive relationship and finally made the decision to use your personal power and take action and change your life, it's probably because you hit a level of pain you weren't willing to settle for anymore. You finally decided that not only was this relationship painful today, but it had been painful in the past, and most importantly, you became certain it would be painful in the future. You see, when we link pain to the past, the present, and the future, we hit a threshold that can quickly propel us to take action and make immediate changes. The problem is that most of us decide what to do based on what's going to create pain or pleasure in the short term instead of the long term. Why is this a problem? Well, because in order to succeed, most of the things that we value most require us to be able to break through the wall of short-term pain in order to have the long-term pleasure in the first place. This is a critical point, especially when you combine it with the fact that it's not actual pain that drives us, but really our fear that something will lead to pain. And it's not actual pleasure that drives us either, but our belief, our sense of certainty, that is, that somehow taking a certain action is going to lead to something that we really want, some real pleasurable emotion. In other words, we're not driven by reality, but by our perceptions of reality. Realize right now that the fear of pain wears many guises. It may look like fear of failure, or fear of success, or fear of the unknown, or fear that people will judge us. But no matter what you call it, you can always trace your behavior and whether or not you take action to the singular cause of what you link pain and pleasure to. If you're failing to take action in any area of your life, you can be assured there's one reason. You've learned to associate more pain to taking action than not taking action. And therefore, there's only one way to make a change. Change what you link pain and pleasure to. Otherwise, you can make a short-term change, but it's not going to last. You can put yourself on a diet, for example, and you can push yourself and discipline yourself, but as long as you link pain to eating the foods that'll support you, I'm here to tell you, you'll always be overweight. You must change what you associate in your gut. Willpower is not enough. Now, another term for these pain-pleasure linkages I use, I call neuroassociations. Simply, this means the associations that you and I establish within our nervous system that determines what we'll do. And the good news is this, we can learn to condition our minds, bodies, and emotions to link pain or pleasure to whatever we choose. That's the secret to changing your whole life, all your behaviors, all your actions, and your results. By changing what we link pain and pleasure to, we can instantly change our behavior. Let me offer you an example of how I did this with myself. In my own life, in spite of my parents' best efforts, there were times when my family didn't always have enough money even to buy the foods that we all wanted most. So when I became an adult and started earning a substantial income, I found myself overeating on a regular basis, especially those foods I always wanted. And eventually I achieved balance, but only after gaining and then having to lose 38 pounds. Recently, I realized I linked pain to not eating everything on my plate. I mean, if it was on my plate, I had to eat it. I was compelled. And I realized I needed to change this disempowering association because recently I'd gotten larger plates and I was eating more and more food. I clearly needed to condition my mind and emotions to link pain to overeating and pleasure to the idea of eating lighter foods and smaller amounts. Most importantly, I needed to link pleasure to the first step to losing weight. And I want to reinforce that. Most of us give ourselves pain when we screw up, but we don't give ourselves pleasure when we want to move ahead. See, I began to link pleasure to pushing the plate away while there was still food on it. This went totally against my past conditioning. You know, you need to eat everything you've got while it's there. I was able to change this simply by conditioning myself. I began to push the plate away while I cranked up my favorite music, working myself into a peak state and feeling the sensations of pleasure as I pushed the plate away again and again. I repeated this process over and over until pretty soon it felt great to push away my plate and the food was still on it. You can't imagine what a freeing experience this was for me. So what's the first step to creating a change? The first step is simply becoming aware of the power that pain and pleasure, or neuroassociations, exert over every decision, therefore every action that we take. This awareness means understanding these linkages, the linkages between ideas and words and images and sounds and the sensations of pain and pleasure, they're happening constantly. Unless you and I take conscious control of this constant stream of linkages that our brains are making, then they're going to happen unconsciously, automatically. Your brain, with or without your conscious guidance, continually processes what your senses are perceiving, and it forms an intricate network of gut-level linkages between ideas, images, sounds, events, feelings, and your memory of what leads to pain and what leads to pleasure. Anytime you experience a significant amount of pain or pleasure, either emotionally or physically, your brain immediately searches for a cause. And once your brain discovers this cause-effect relationship, it links up that association in your nervous system so that in the future you won't have to experience the pain again. It becomes a warning signal that you are able to search for whenever you enter a situation like this. It also guides you in knowing what to do to get back into pleasurable emotional states and do it more quickly than if you didn't have the system. This is our most basic survival instinct at work. Now, problems can arise, though, when we make false connections. Envision a baby crawling along the edge of a couch. If he reaches the edge, is it possible that he'll continue to crawl until he falls? Absolutely. Why? Because the baby has no associations in his nervous system linking going over the edge to pain. And if the poor baby does fall, he may not link up the pain of falling with coming to the edge of the couch, at least not initially. He may simply decide that couches cause pain, so he may avoid couches altogether until he makes the proper distinction. The problem of making false connections, of course, is not limited to toddlers. Grown-ups do it too. I once knew a woman who was a very successful artist who hadn't had a relationship with a man for 12 years. Now, this woman had once been extremely passionate about everything she did, and it's what made her such a great artist. But you know what happened? Because she'd been so passionate in that relationship that bottomed out 12 years before, she asked herself what was the cause of the pain, and her brain linked up that her passion had destroyed the relationship. So she decided never get passionate in a relationship again. This is what we call a false neuroassociation. She had determined a false cause. The real culprit was that she and her partner had different values. They had different rules. Yet you can understand that because she linked pain to her passion, she started avoiding it unconsciously at all costs. But then she began to feel pain because she missed the passion. This is a perfect example of the strange ways in which we all sometimes wire ourselves. And you and I must understand these distinctions so we don't fall prey as well. The danger is that we often set up false neuroassociations that exert a negative control over our entire lives. If an inexperienced person makes his first attempt at speaking in public and he doesn't do very well, he may establish a neuroassociation that links public speaking with pain. Later, he'll use this same experience to back up the idea of never getting up before an audience again. False neuroassociations can be incredibly destructive then. That's why it's so critical to evaluate any associations we have in our mind and see, are they really true? Or did we link up a false cause? We've got to evaluate linkages before they become a part of our unconscious decision-making process. So often we blame the wrong cause and thereby close ourselves off from possible solutions. Nevertheless, the instinct to create neural associations, that is, to link pain and pleasure to things and to map it out in our brains, has been shaped by millions of years of evolution. Our nervous systems have been designed to guide our decision-making process by developing a set of signals to teach our brains what to approach and what to avoid, especially what to avoid, since that plays a bigger role in your survival. Now, I'm not suggesting that you and I are totally controlled by our environment, or that we are purely conditioned products of whatever we've been punished or rewarded for. Of course not. I'm not a believer in the behavioral hypothesis that says we are purely the result of our conditioning. But, and this is a big but, if we don't take control of that conditioning, I believe that these principles take over by default. The power that we have as human beings is such a unique gift in that we have the ability to override our experiences and consciously decide what will mean pain and what will mean pleasure. Anyone who succeeds in life has learned to override their conditioning. One decision that I made in my own life that's really shaped my destiny was that of linking incredible pleasure to learning. You see, I began to realize that learning how to shape human behavior and emotion could give me virtually everything I wanted in my life. I realized it could get me out of pain and into pleasure in a moment, that learning could unlock the secrets behind actions and therefore give me the key to producing results. And through that, I knew I could create a better life physically, that I'd be able to connect more deeply with the people I cared about, that I could get myself to take the kinds of actions that would make a difference in millions of people's lives and give me a sense of joy and fulfillment every day that I was alive. What are some of the experiences of pain and pleasure that have shaped your life? I mean, think about it for a moment. And I'm here to tell you that any part of your life that you want to change but haven't been able to, maybe a drug addiction, an alcohol addiction, challenges in relationships, challenges in business, no matter what the challenge may be, it can be traced directly and ultimately to your neuroassociations of pain and pleasure. If you've been unable to create change in your life, it's because you link too much pain to taking the very actions that could create the change. How can we take control of this process then and forge our own neuroassociations? Start by becoming aware of when they're formed and control your focus in those moments. Let's say, for example, you leave for home after a frustrating day at work. When you get home, your spouse greets you at the door and tries to cheer you up, but it doesn't work. Why? Because you're so angry. You're angry about what's happened at work and you're still steamed. You're seeing your spouse's face while you're in this angry state. Pretty soon, when you see their face, guess what you're going to feel? Angry. You have created an instant false neuroassociation. If you realize this, you can begin to interrupt this negative association before it takes hold. And the first step is to wake up and realize these associations are being made constantly. Remember, anytime you're in a peak state, whether it be positive or negative, be careful of what you focus on consistently while you're in that state, because whatever you notice while you're in that state will get linked neurologically. Next, begin to question your false neuroassociations. Winston Churchill once said, "Truth is incontrovertible. Malice may attack it. Ignorance may deride it. But in the end, there it is." Churchill was right. The truth will eventually emerge if you just continue to question the false associations that have limited your life in the past. You can analyze them to death if nothing else. Finally, assume the power to change what you link pain and pleasure to. Remember that the foremost power is awareness. Remember also that trying to change your behavior in the short term will only create short-term results. You must change the cause, and that always is what you associate pain and pleasure to in this situation, and that'll give you the power to change your behavior over the long term. You can immediately take control by changing your focus. If right now you're afraid to take some action, begin to focus on the possibility of the price you'll pay if you don't take action, and that'll change what you associate to that decision. So many people don't take action because they focus on how much pain they think they'd have if they took action. You must instead focus on the pain of inaction and on the pleasure of taking action now.
This is the end of Side 1. On Side 2, Anthony Robbins will examine belief systems, the source of your power to create and destroy. Then, he'll introduce you to the science of neuroassociative conditioning, a step-by-step strategy for creating real and lasting change in your life. And finally, he'll help you create your own magnificent obsession, your compelling vision of the future.